on, guys? Welcome back to the Chew New Podcast. I am here on a Friday night, 7:27. Usually start at 7:30, but you know, it is what it is. But make sure you're all watching. Let me know the volume's up, because I do have the volume up. We should be pumping through the speakers. I promise, I hope. But today, we are taking a seat back to a blast from the past. Some history from you-know-who and some great history from a gentleman I have here on the podcast today. This guy's been writing lyrics for quite some time, and he's what I like to call old school, man. Not like the all AI stuff that's going on now. This is old school. Those of you know, you know. So hang in there. We're going to go ahead and start the podcast in a... What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chew New Podcast. I am here today with probably a lot of people know who he is, or a few of us may know, a good handful of us, maybe even more. He's been from the RGB for quite some time. He's played in quite a few bands. Great lyric writer. If you really have to pick at the lyrics to understand exactly what he's talking about, but when you do, you'll understand what he's talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Isaac Mendiola to the podcast. What's going on, Isaac?
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Am I too loud, buddy? I'm sorry, my bad.
No, you're fine.
Don't be like Mooncat was this Sunday. This past Monday, real late. I tried to get a rise out of the kid, but and now, it just didn't happen.
No.
It's been a minute, bro.
It has been quite some time.
It's been a minute. I know we were chit-chatting before the pod started. We got here a little early. Most of my guests get here exactly at 7:30. But if I know Isaac, he will be here an hour and a half early.
Blame my father on that.
Bro, we're not setting up mics. We're not setting up instruments today. We're sitting in a podcast having a conversation, bro.
We should have recorded the conversations that we had.
Oh, no. That's only for the subscribers and OnlyFans. But that's a whole different story. But anyways, man. First of all, I want to say thank you for coming out to the podcast with me today, man. I know, like I said before, it's been a minute since we talked. There's a lot of history between Isaac and I through the years. This is what he's doing. He's still doing this, manifested into podcasting for me. And, you know, we found a fork in the road. We went our opposite ways, but eventually came back to the same area to say, what's up? And eventually we'll probably divide again. Back different directions. But tell us a little bit about yourself, Isaac. I mean, where you grew up, where you're from, you know, all that good stuff. We want to know all the basics of you, buddy. Talk to me.
Growing up, let's see. Dad was a soldier in the United States Army, so we moved around a lot. Mm-hmm. Military bases, military schools. I've been in a lot of time in Texas, like Central Texas, Fort Hood, Texas. I spent about 6 years there, and then I took off from there to Fort Clayton, Panama. That was paradise. That was beautiful. That I didn't want to leave. And then when that tour was over, he got stationed in Kingsville, Texas. So I kind of, mom and pop are still there. Mm-hmm. And that's where I call home. My brother's there, my sister's there, my mom and dad are there.
Right.
And that's where I call home. But so that was the beginning of moving down here. I couldn't find a job in Kingsville.
Right.
And someone had to die or retire. And
hey, man, that Kingsville's a small...
It's a small town. Small town. It is a small town. Right. So came down here, and I got picked up right away. Mm-hmm. as an educator. So I've been doing that for the last 27 years, I think, going on 28, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
But no, man, it's been quite a ride. I've enjoyed that. I was born here.
Right.
Wasn't raised here.
Right.
And I always get asked, like, you're not from here, are you? I don't know what gives it away. But no, I was born here. But as soon as I was born, we took off to Fort Polk, Louisiana.
Oh, shoot.
We were there.
Okay.
Dad was a drill sergeant there for, I don't want to say, about 3 years there. So, mm-hmm. No, didn't follow Dad's footsteps joining the Army. I never laced up a pair of combat boots in my life. My brother did. My father did, of course. But mm-hmm. I went to school at Texas A&M Kingsville, graduated from there, and then I came down
right
here.
Now, as far as in that small town you're in Kingsville, were you already into the music scene? Were you really getting into it little by little?
My brother was. My brother was in a band, and I found it fascinating, mm-hmm. you know. But I couldn't, I didn't have anything to go on. My brother was a drummer. He's actually a pretty good drummer. Mm-hmm. So when I graduated from high school, I just said, you know what, I'm going to try to start a band. And the crazy, it's rather embarrassing when you start a band and they say, okay, what do? You say, I'm a vocalist.
Oh, right.
Okay, let's see. Let's couldn't sing a lick. Couldn't, you know. It was terrible. It was a terrible experience, but it was an experience I had to go through because they were playing the same key that the track was on, and that was not my range. So halfway through a gig, I was shot. You know, the vocals were shot. So little by little, you learn from those mistakes. And it wasn't until, I was in two bands in Kingsville, cover bands, of course.
Right.
And then when I got here to the Valley, that is where I started to more or less start finding a voice.
Okay.
A lot of people want to sound like this, they want to sound like that.
I didn't
want to sound like anything. I wanted to try to find
your voice,
original voice that I had, which I remember doing. You were there. We were there. We were doing an acoustic gig for my aunt's birthday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and, I remember that.
My cousin was with me, Mary, and she said, are you going to warm up? And I was like, no, I don't warm up. And she's like, are you going to drink like a hot tea? I was like, no, I'm drinking beer. And, you know, I think it was you, Al, and I getting hammered in the back.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can't believe you don't do that stuff. So I was like, well, that's just, you know, that's just
the way we roll, ma'am.
So we go and we do our little set, and I come back and I sit next to my cousin Mary, and she says, my God, I can't believe you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, you sound just like Huelito. Now, Huelito, my grandfather on my mom's side,
mm-hmm.
was a truck driver, but that was during the week. On the weekends, he was a musician. He'd go across the border to Reynosa.
Oh, shit.
And he would be playing there. He even cut an album. I think it was a cover album, I think.
This is the acoustic you would always have in your hand when we would go
the one.
Practice.
Okay. I still have it.
Then that makes sense now.
It does.
Okay.
So you were there. Al was there. It was late as shit, man. I remember that. And my grandmother, because when I first got down here, I was staying with her until I can get myself settled.
Right.
And she would listen to us.
Yes.
You and Al on the acoustics and me just there. She would listen to us in the other room because mm-hmm. we were in the living room.
Yeah.
And then, after, man, it was something like 2, 3 in the morning, I guess, man. Yeah. We'd go home late. And when you guys would leave, I'd go and say, hey, I'm gonna go to bed already. And she says, oh, man, I really wish that Antonio was his name.
Yeah.
I wish Antonio was alive so that he could hear you because you sound just like Antonio. So
mm-hmm.
I think the going back to the original voice that you had to find was always there,
right?
Genetically,
mm-hmm.
Through my grandfather.
Okay.
Now, my grandfather's voice, tone, singing voice is what I have. My father's volume, as far as how loud you can project your voice, that is my old man.
Right.
So you ever see those little those little kids and at the border, and they're selling Chiclets, and they're playing their accordions,
yeah,
and they're
yeah.
singing their asses off.
Yeah.
That is what I when I see that, I was like, man, that kid has got some pipes. He can really do well if someone would just nurture that.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But that is where I think I found my voice. The volume and the tone came from my father, and the vocal sound of it all was from my grandfather.
Yeah.
So that's where that came from.
Yeah, and when you came down to the Valley, you started up. I know John, he goes, make sure you mention this. I know John, you're probably watching already. But you go, make sure he mentions the actual first band that he came down and sang with, and that's with Naked Souls.
Yeah, that was Willie Vega.
Yeah.
And that was with Lucas. I don't remember the drummer's name. I can't remember his name. But that was a cover band.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say we did, that's where I started to learn how to, I realized that I want to try to write something original. So I got mm-hmm. with Willie and we did a small EP, like a 4-song EP, I think it was.
Yeah.
And when we did that, that kind of opened up the door to say, okay, I know I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that is out of reach. So when that disintegrated, when that went down the pipe, I really decided to focus on going back to school and get my master's, which was a complete joke. I hated school. Yeah, I really, really did. And John Fez said, "You'll be back."
And he always says that.
Yeah, he does.
He always says
and
that.
He's always right.
You know? Yeah, he's always right. Damn guru.
So you'll be back. And it didn't take long. You and I were talking about creative release earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And it, within 2 weeks, Marcus, the tension of not being able to release creatively, or
yeah.
being creative,
yeah,
and doing
yeah,
it,
yeah, yeah.
built up. And then I called John, "Hey, man, find me somebody.
Yeah.
I'm ready to get back to work." And that's where you came in.
Yeah, that I saw it. And if people are watching, if anybody remembers MySpace.
that was a while back.
I saw that he had put up, I think it was My Little Satellite that I heard mm-hmm. he put up there. If anybody could play this, it'd be great. You know, hit me up and what's so have you. Okay, all right, cool. I listened to it. I'd already been playing guitar for a while. And I heard that song. I go, well, it doesn't sound that difficult. I think I could pick it up. And sure enough, I picked it up in about a day and a half. So after going by chord, by chord, by chord, and I found it. And I gave John a call. I go, "Hey, man, I got something for you here." I go, "I'm really interested. I want to see who this singer is. And I want to see, I mean, what's on the menu? Right. What am I playing with?"
Right.
And he introduced me to you. And we met. I remember playing My Little Satellite for the first time with you. Mm-hmm. And it sounded... To me, it sounded, I hope I did well, but it just clicked.
That's after the that. Beauty of it, man. I think, like, when you find that one person that you can relate to, that one person that is going to say, "Hey, I want to do what you're doing, mm-hmm. and I want to do what you're doing." You know, the both of you guys are on the same
right,
page.
Right, right.
I think we went off from the races there.
Yeah.
We started writing original music.
Yeah, we started writing, and it's funny because... When we started, you started writing the originals. I had to come up with music.
Yeah.
So I was like, "Damn, I gotta find something." And I think Love's a Murder. I think was one of them that we picked mm-hmm. up pretty quick. That was like one of the first ones we actually touched base. But it wasn't really the one that melted into what made it take off. Because right. the one that really got me, and I still remember that phone call at 2 a.m. I called you. I called you at 2 a.m, 2:30 a.m. I go, "Bro, I got something." He's like, "You're like, yeah, what? I got something. Hold on. Don't hang up." This is when we had the little flip phones.
Oh yeah.
Flip phones. I go, "Don't hang up. Hold on, dude. Let me get my guitar." And it was funny because before that happened, I was asleep. Me and my wife were asleep, and I just popped out of bed. She goes, "What's wrong?" I just take off running to the guest room. And I pick up my acoustic and I start playing these notes. And she goes, "Are you serious? You woke up to play?" Wait, please. I have it right here. I just got to put it into this. And as soon as I figure it out, the first person I call is you. I go, "Dude, mm-hmm. you got to hear this."
What was it?
It was last Sunday.
Last Sunday. Okay.
Last yeah. Sunday is the first actual right. song that I was actually completed in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
It was fucking weird. And I show you, I play it for you. You're like, "Shit." I go, "No, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight because that sucks about you."
Yeah.
And then, boom, you started writing on it.
No, I think the funny thing about that you mentioned that you had it in a dream, because I've had dreams, and I've spoken to other musicians, like they dream in music.
Yes.
And in my dream, it's beautiful. Mm. And I can see, like, colors and I can see, like, you know, shifts and patterns, and I can hear it. And there's no wrong. It's all right.
Uh-huh.
And then when I wake up, I can't remember.
Exactly.
I'm like, "Oh, my God. How do you forget that?"
It happened to me a lot. And when I got that one down, I go, "This is the one we're going to work on. This is the one. This is the first one we're going to mm-hmm. piece together. It's going to be one complete song."
That track got on college radio, I want to say. Yeah, it did.
That one hit, mm-hmm. hit college radio. And bringing it to you, and then say, "Look, dude, what do you got?" It was like showing up to the sandbox because, "Look, I brought this." "What do you got?" "I brought this. Let's build something." So we start sculpting this thing together, and it starts rising mm-hmm. slowly. So then, John, I think it was John, he goes, "We go, you know what, guys? I think we need a bass player. Let's fill these
things up." Man.
So let's start building and look for a bass. And that's where we meet for the first time, the only other brother from a different mother that I've known at the time who loved Stevie Ray Vaughan like I did was Bob.
I remember Bob. Yes. I remember him.
Hey, was he part of Naked Souls at the time also?
Yes, he was.
The bass player.
Dude. And he was a really nice guy, man. He really was. Yeah. Real polite. Loved to drink, so I loved him already. And we would just go and write and stuff. But yeah. He did really well. I mean, he did really well. He was a really good bass player.
Yeah.
He's not Steve.
Yeah.
You know, nobody is Steve.
We'll get to Steve later on in the pod, but yeah.
That guy is amazing on any song that we would write.
Right.
Steven just, it was like Steven featuring Tracy's Men. You know what I mean? Like, we were his guests, you know? It was really, really weird because he just had these weird patterns that gave John a lot of trouble doing the mixing and mastering of the track, because you had you, and then you had Allie,
right,
and then you had Steven, and it was just a hodgepodge of just clashing, and he's like, oh my god, there are too many notes, there's too much, you know. So I don't know how he did
it. We put that boy to work.
I don't know how he did it, but I do remember him complaining about that. He goes, it's so busy. Marcus wants to do this. Al wants to do this. Steven is going to do this. No one's going to tell him what not to do. And then he was like, and then you come in and you want to do your ooh la la's and your ah la la's and you're going all over the place too. He goes, you guys just have too much.
Yeah.
You know,
It was creativity coming out the hoo-ha.
It was. And I'm glad it happened that way, because that is the only way those songs could have been written.
Mm-hmm.
You could have worked with another vocalist, another lyricist, and it would not have come out the same.
No.
I could have worked with another guitar player, and it would not have come out the same.
No.
So the way that track came out last Sunday, if you listen to it, it is stacked. It is stacked with a lot of layers of instruments. Just three instruments, really four.
Yeah.
Bass, guitar, another guitar, and then drums and vocals. So there's five.
There's five,
but it's just thick.
Yeah.
It's extremely thick. Harlem to Memphis, same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing. I want to say, because that was like our first crack at it.
Yep.
We did not want to leave anything out.
Yeah.
If I'm correct, I didn't want to leave anything out.
Well, consider the style. I mean, we're working with Bob. Bob actually didn't work out that well because he had other things going on in his life. And I know we had gotten a drummer. I forgot the name of that gentleman's name. He had a headset. And I forgot his name. Anyways, but we're jamming out with Bob, you, me, Bob, and that gentleman. And he has the back. He starts singing with you back. I'm like, oh, wow. Someone's really off, or I got bad ears. I'm not a singer. So I go, it just sounds off. So I go, you know what? Let him sing his heart out. Let Isaac tell him.
No, man. But you know what?
Just before Karen was said, Jesus take the wheel. Now, wait before that. So I go, I'm going to let it be what let it be. Then all of a sudden, it just came to a halt. For like 6-7 months.
Okay. Yeah.
It came to a halt for 6-7 months. I ended up getting married. I get married and then slowly came back and said, hey, dude, let's start playing again.
Right.
We start writing three more songs on top of that. And then I go, bro, this is too many songs. I'm punching out too many songs, music itself, writing too much music. I need somebody to collab with because I feel there's a little too much on me right now.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, Al was playing guitar. He said, that's why I take two different styles. You got a blues player,
mm-hmm.
and then Al was the metalist. So I told you, dude, I got somebody that can back us up. They helped me back up. It'll sound even more
the full. Way you guys collaborated, because there were two different styles, and we knew that. Coming in, I knew you were a blues man, and I knew Al was a metalhead. But what was really cool thing about that was when we would go into a writing session, all that stopped at the door, and you and Al came in with a different type of style.
Yeah.
that was your own. It wasn't your influences or his influences. Mm-hmm. It was just both of you going in and coming up with one complete sound. And I remember specifically, I think it was you, because you, or was it Al? Somebody was tap dancing while somebody was playing rhythm, and it was because it was on those Spanish or those acoustic guitars.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful sound. And then you guys started harmonizing on the guitars. You're playing in a certain key, and he's playing in another key. Right. You're playing the same notes.
Right.
But man, the way those things came together was, I have not heard anything like that doing, you know, music this long.
Mm-hmm.
But when I first heard that, I said, that's really, really pretty. It was beautiful. And I think when we would go play acoustic shows, and that's why I think earlier I said I love those, because they were so intimate. They were they allowed you and Al to polish off a craft that you were brand new to.
Right.
You know, you guys would just plug up and then go.
Yeah.
Now you're just on an acoustic guitar.
Right.
And it didn't take away, in fact, it brought more to the table than you would in like an electric setting.
Those
gigs, those early gigs, before we even started cutting records, we were peeling off the layers of those tracks.
Yeah.
And I remember you and Al saying, let's try this.
Mm-hmm.
And it got better. And then the next gig, let's try this. I got this idea, let's try this.
Yeah.
And it just got better. And when we thought that it would have been polished to a high shine, that's when we went in to record the first EP, I think it was, we did.
Mm-hmm.
And but that was just it was beautiful.
Yeah.
You and Al, the way you guys collaborated together, the way you guys would write songs, or the way you guys would like put songs together, made it real easy for me to just dance on top of all that.
Yeah, I know. We got already, Jacinto Rivera already tuned in. He goes, oh, ¿dónde está el feo? Está en la casa, bro. He's at home, bro. I took away his legs so he can come to the podcast. It's true, man. Writing with Al was like a midnight stroll. It was so easy.
It was.
Because hearing him play something, I would fill it in with something. I would play something, he would fill it in with something. And it was just mash, mash, mash. And it was just going. And we're
absolutely.
Now, it got to the point where we're writing so much, you're like, hey, guys, step back a little bit.
Because it would get like a little complicated. I was like, man, this is getting really progressive. It's starting to, you know, different parts are coming in. And I'm like, okay, I'm getting lost. All right, I'm getting lost here. And I'm not supposed to get lost.
Right, right.
But I would get lost at a few times. But then when you guys would hammer it out and fine-tune it, it was easy.
Yeah.
It was so easy. And the way... I know you said, I'm not a singer. But you really, really are. Because I remember when we were doing acoustic gigs and they were intimate, and you would sing back vocals on... You would harmonize with me, and it was... dead on.
Mm-hmm.
And it made the song that much better. And I was like, man, that sounds really, not me, but the way you would come in on, because you could sing really high.
It was funny because when we did that, you were like, here, put a microphone on. I'm like, what am I? You're singing
it. You're going to do this here. Man. It's not a whole lot, you know. And then it started to get a little more and a little more.
More comfortable.
Comfortable. Once you got a grip on it, man, you really, really took it home. And I was like, yeah, that sounds really pretty.
Yeah.
You know, nowadays, I mean, it's, you just plug up and then it sounds pretty. But the way you would do things, playing guitar and singing at the same time, I was just like, this is really, really good.
Right.
And I really, really did appreciate that, man. It was really, really nice to hear that.
Yeah, it was fun times, man. And at that point, we're doing the acoustic gigs. And by the way, TGIF, which no longer exists in the RGB anymore, but Al and I sat back. He goes, bro, we need to progress. And he goes, what do you mean? I go, we need to progress. He goes, I think we need a bass player.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to have to look for a drummer because this is something that's flourishing to something a little bit bigger. You know, we need, our bridges are getting, we're getting bigger and we need bigger bridges. Mm-hmm. He goes, okay, well, let's look around for a bass player. And I had met Steve once.
Oh, Steve.
Once. Just one time. And he told me, dude, come and check out Steve Plating. I'm like, all right, I'll come by. It was funny because Al and I would always be, hey, I got somebody, come check him out. I'm like, all right, I'll go check him out. And I'm like, okay. So we go out there, and I'm checking him out, and I hear him playing bass. I'm like, okay. He got some runs. He has a nice blues runs. I like that. He's a blues player like me. And then they start playing heavy metal, and you see him go off. I'm like, what the fuck?
I saw that, man.
Are you serious? Mm-hmm. And then they would switch again. I'm like, holy, what? Where have you been hiding this guy, dude?
Yeah, we need him. He's unbelievable.
I go, we need him. And it was a simple conversation. You walk to him and go, hey, what's up, dude? What's up? Hey, what's up, Mark? Hey, what's up? My buddy Mark. Hey, what's up? What's up, Al? He goes, everybody knew Al. He goes, hey, bro, we have a question for you. He goes, yeah, go ahead, tell him. Oh, you want me to tell him? He was telling Al. Yeah, you tell him, dude. He ain't gonna believe me. He goes, hey, look, dude, we got a little band together. We're slowly progressing, and we want to grow into an actual band, because right now it's just an acoustic setup. We really want to plug up, and I think you would fit perfect because you have such a raw, different style than what, not just playing metal, but jazz and blues at the same time.
I think you got offended one time when I said, you're really a jazz musician. I think you got offended. He looked at me like,
shut up.
No, I'm not. And I go, it's a compliment, man. It really, really is.
Jazz is a tough break, man.
I was being honest. I said, man, you really are a jazz bass player. Yeah. And he's like, no, I'm not. Really,
he's being honest, Isaac.
He didn't want anything to do with that little thing. I said, okay, you'll grow into it. Man. Yeah. No, I won't. Okay, all right. But he's an amazing bass player.
Yes.
He really is. He could find notes that I didn't even think existed. And you know, you and I listened to music since we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
The way he played bass was just, he just found things, man.
Yeah.
Like, he just found the right sound, the right note at the right place on the right song.
Yeah.
And it didn't take him long.
Right.
And once it was locked in, it was there.
Yep.
There was no changing it because it was, I dare say, it was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could not ask him to do anything more because that one take, I mean, it was just Hardliner, the bass on that.
But you didn't have to go that far. Look at Plow.
Plow is just, you know, he just
amazing.
I'm telling you, man, that guy, Steven, man, if you're listening, geez, man, you are a brilliant bassist. You really, really are.
So I asked him, and he's like, well, what kind of music? It's, we don't even know the damn genre, man. It's just a mixture of stuff. Well, what do you play? He told me, I play guitar. Style. I go, mm-hmm. I'm more of a Jimi Hendrix and a Jimmy Page and a Stevie Vaughan style. Well, I know what Al plays. Stupid metalhead.
Yeah. Everybody knew Al.
So he goes, so you want to give it a shot? I guess I'll give it a shot. He comes in with his bass. We plug up for the first time. We had to plug up because all he had was electrical bass.
Mm-hmm.
And he picked up the songs pretty quick.
He did.
So I was like, all right, we got Steve in. That's good. Now we need a drummer. So Allie, he knows every damn musician in the valley, dude.
Sure does.
Dude, I got the perfect person. I go, who? This guy, a buddy of mine, played Tejano with him. I'm like, oh, great, a Tejano player. All right. Who are we talking about, Al? He got Mario. I go, Mario. I'm like, oh, never met the guy. He goes, no, trust me, dude. Don't worry, dude. He's good, man. He's studying to be a border patrol. I'm like,
Mario.
So I'm like, all right, let's go. Let's give him a shot. All right, cool. So we bring in Mario for the first time. Clicks.
Yeah.
So that right there was the official first,
right,
full fledged Tracy's Men band.
Right.
Right there, and I remember because we practiced so much, and then all of a sudden you go, hey man, guess what? We got us a gig. What? I go, we got a gig. May I ask where? We're playing in Mission High School in the gym.
That's right. That's right. We did.
I'm all like, what? We're playing at an element. I think it was an elementary show that we're doing or something like that.
Yeah.
We're gonna go. We're gonna play for these guys. I'm like, I look at Steve to go. We gotta play for a bunch of kids. I go, hey man, a gig's a gig, dude. Let's go.
We have played some really weird gigs, man. I think that one was weird. That dog show or whatever it was.
Oh,
that dog shelter one was weird.
Yeah, we'll go over that one in a little bit.
We just, you know, the bars were cool gigs, but we didn't care, man.
Yeah,
we just wanted to go play.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't care. It didn't bother me at all if we played at a school or if we played
at a birthday party
or I didn't care. It didn't bother me one bit. And I still don't care.
Yeah.
Just like wherever we go,
even nowadays, that doesn't bother me.
Yeah. And so we stay with Mario for a couple of months, and then Mario gets picked up, and he heads off to Border Patrol.
That's right.
So we're like, oh, damn it. We need to find ourselves a drummer, and we got to find him fast. And then you told us about a drummer that was playing at a... No. Before that, we find another drummer who applies for the job. We give him a shot. We get Ozzy.
I'm glad you're remembering all this, man. It's really hazy, man.
It's called old age, bro. It's still there. Let me have it. I see.
Because I was like, okay, this guy knows all these guys. I don't remember these guys.
You got Ozzy in there. That was a whole... I'm not even going to put you on the spotlight there, Ozzy, because you got issues. But we got rid of Ozzy. Then we picked up a drum. We were going to pick up a drummer that you had seen at some band. That he played with some band. He was like a real technical drummer. We went over to his house and played at his garage. And Steve and I were like, man, I don't feel it. Mm-hmm. I go, we don't feel it. And then sure enough, we knew somebody for the longest time. We decided to reach out to Joel.
Joel.
Now, Joel has played in various bands. Mm-hmm. And we knew who he was. And at that moment, I was like, bro, you want to go with Joel? That's fine. I really want Juan. Mm-hmm. I really want Juan.
Oh, yeah.
I want Juan Cano, man. This is the guy. He's going to take us places. We want this guy. But Joel's the same way. They're both the same. But I go...
Are you arguing with me?
I'm arguing with Al and Steve.
Okay.
And he goes, I don't... Because you're not there. We're listening to these George play.
Okay.
He goes, I really want Juan, dude. Because when we're jamming out at... I think it was at David's house. He had a little garage in the back.
Right.
Or in the basement. And we're playing. And don't ask me about the basement. in the valley. So we're like, you know what, dude? I'm going to step back. I brought Steve in. I talked to Steve. We got him in. You brought Mario. You pick up the drummers, Al. We're going to go with Joel. All right. Cool. What is it? Al and Steve went and talked to him. We got him in. We brought him in for the first thing. First, he had to listen to everything, and then he just
clicked. Yeah, he picked up real quick, man. Joel's a really good drummer.
And good. And that, John Doe, when we started playing, you got us another gig. And this is the picture we're talking about.
Yeah, that's the dog shelter gig, man, right there.
Yeah.
It was hot as hell.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was hot too, man.
It smelled like mutt out there.
It did, man.
And I wasn't talking about the dogs.
It was for the dogs. That was really funny, man, because I remember I was like, okay, what hour? Okay. Yeah. It was hot too.
Yeah, it was one gig that we played at that was real cool because it was like one of the first gigs we did as a full band outside, mm-hmm. You know, and we didn't know the elements mm-hmm. of the guitars going off tune, of the bass
going off tune, the
drums, the skins, and all that stuff. So we were like, we were on the fly for that. But that was mm-hmm. that was a fun time. Now, when we got this whole band together and we start doing these songs that were originally acoustic, mm-hmm. what's the mindset right there when we're actually going at full fledged band already?
Well, you can see the transition.
Mm-hmm.
From when we were playing at Fridays doing acoustic gigs and then going over to a full, you know, electric band.
Mm-hmm.
And the really good thing about that was that we had already honed in on those tracks. And when you guys plugged up, it was like going into a different environment, and because you had so much more at your disposal.
Right.
And electrically, you can do a lot more than you can acoustically.
Yeah.
So when we went electric, one, it was super loud. I remember that. I mean, you and Al would always be, turn down, turn up. You know, it was one of those things. But it was very loud. And,
right.
But that's the way it worked. It mm-hmm. wasn't about, okay, let's try to play them the same way we did, you know,
right.
with the intimate gigs. It was a whole new game.
Right.
With going electric.
Right.
And we did, I liked those. I did like the electric gigs. Those were cool. But for me, it was always, you know, the acoustic
unplugged
shows.
Yeah,
the unplugged ones were really, really good. And I remember we were playing in bars, and we weren't really keen on doing covers. We wanted to do our own, but
right.
we didn't have a whole lot of our own.
Right.
So we started working on different covers. And the one I think we talked about earlier was L.A. Woman from The Doors.
Yeah.
I absolutely love playing. I don't
right.
really like the song when I hear it, but mm-hmm. the way you and Al and Joel and Steve played it, man, it just... You guys did it your way.
Our style.
Yeah, your style.
Yeah.
You didn't
sound like
The track.
The track.
Yeah.
That one, and then I think one of your favorites was Tie Your Mother Down. That was another one.
Yeah.
That we, you guys, and that's what I really admired about both you guys, man, is that you did, you didn't want to sound like the track. I'm going to do it the way I think I would have done it if it was mine.
Right.
And it just made, it made the world a difference. It made the difference between what you guys were doing, what everybody else was trying to sound like, the track.
Right.
You know, so it's one of those things that you just really need to go back on and say, this is the way we're going to do it. We don't want to sound like this. We want to sound like us. And I think you and Al gave the band an identity by doing that. I was still trying to find a voice at the time, and I was just trying not to lose my voice at the time. But the way you guys were able to work together and piece those covers your own way made all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
Joel did the same thing.
Yeah. You know,
he didn't play it the way it was on the track.
Right.
Steven threw all rules out. You know, he played it his way.
Right.
And not unless it was like a lick that had to be played.
Right.
But everything else was, that was just Steve.
Yeah.
And that was Al. And that was you.
Right.
And that was Joel. And that, I want to say, the four of you coming together that way gave the band its identity. Right. I was still trying to struggle to find my identity. But once what you guys clicked, I was like, okay, they're going to carry me. Because I don't have anything. But as the years went on, you start to find what type of musician you are. You start to find who you really are as a singer. And you know, it takes time.
Yeah, it does.
It's trial and error. I don't want to sound like this. And damn it, John.
It all comes back to John.
When we would go record, he would say, "Okay, Elvis Costello." And I was like, "Oh man, did I sound like him?" Yep, on this part right here. Okay, Brian Ferry, because I was listening to a lot of rock and music and Elvis Costello. He goes, "Okay, you sound like there." So he could hear me mimicking different artists on one track. I tried to like mix it up so nobody would know.
Right.
Yeah, I couldn't fool him though, but he picked up on it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until we started working with Fez that I started to slowly but surely begin to understand what it meant to find your voice.
Right.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that you sound like somebody, you don't sound like somebody. It's the style in which you record a track.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were talking about it earlier when I brought a processor in.
Yeah, yeah.
And John, I'm old school. John is way, way out there old school. And he's, "Oh, that's cute." You know, like, "What is it?" I go, it's a vocal processor. You don't need it. And I was like, "It's really going to help me sound better." Yes, it will. I'm not going to lie. You do need to sound better. But that's not the way to do it.
Right.
And it was trial and error at Bamwa Studios.
Yes, it
track
was.
Track after track after track.
Right.
And finding, and you peel off layers vocally, physically and vocally, man. You do peel off.
Right.
And that is where I started to learn. It's not really what you sound like. It's how you record a track.
Right.
It's the backup vocals. It's the harmonies.
Right.
It's a lot of stuff. And again, going back to where everybody brought a lot to the table, and then people would get upset when he would start taking things out.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's just the final recording, and you wouldn't hear a piece. Hey, what happened to that piece? Oh, it was too busy.
Too busy, don't worry.
It's cute, but we're not going to use it.
Yeah.
That was his thing, right? Yes. It's cute, but yeah.
Or the thing behind the door.
Oh, yeah, when he'd peek over, when he would do that, I'd be like, "Oh, I gotta do it again." But I really cut my teeth there with John at Bamwa Studios, learning how to, one, find your original voice, and two, learning how to record your voice. And I learned a lot, and I still am learning a lot from
that's all you can do, man. When you in the music career and you're trying to progress to get to the higher, the next step, you have to be open to learning new things.
Well, you have to be a lifelong learner. I mean, you mm-hmm. are, we talked about your podcast earlier when mm-hmm. we weren't on the air. You're not afraid to fail.
Right.
You dare to fail.
And exactly.
That's admirable. I really admire that.
Mm-hmm.
And I always took that with me when we would record or we would write. I didn't care if it was, if somebody said, my biggest fear was that I was not going to be able to get it out there to see if it was going to stick against
them. Right, right.
Okay, so I would just throw it. And if it worked, great. If it didn't, right. well, let's, you know, go on to something else.
Right, but exactly.
I wanted to try to see if it was what the song was calling for.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when you and I were writing songs, there was no twisting. There was no turning or pulling or mm-hmm. pushing. You allowed the song to breathe. And that was easy
yeah.
to sing to.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't like hammered anvil on songs. That was a different story, but not you. You allowed the song to breathe and open and, oh, Isaac, try a pause here, or Isaac, go over here. And the really funny thing about it was when you would do that, you'd make it sound like it was my idea, which it wasn't, because it was yours. And I'm like, hey, I'm pretty good at doing this. You know? And it was really just you weaving your way the way, I don't know, a tree
it's just,
would grow.
It's just the way that I would hear it in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like we talked about earlier about being asleep and you hearing the music and you're like, you don't want to lose that moment. Mm-hmm. So you try to break away from it and you can't.
Right.
And you wake up the next morning like, shit.
Yeah.
What was that damn note? Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times yeah. that's happened to me, man. Yeah. And I want to remember, Marcus. Mm-hmm. I do, but it's gone.
Yeah, I hear
it's, you grasp it and then it's gone. I'm like, did it go like this? No, it didn't go like that. But
right.
The rule of thumb now with the band that I'm in now is write and record everything.
Yeah.
Whether it's good or bad.
Right, right.
Because we always, one of those famous words, I'll remember it.
No, just record it.
Yeah, record it. And
yeah, I hear you.
Go back to it. And
I hear you.
You have it there.
Yeah. So at that Blue Above the Wire was released, one of the first albums that was released first, I had stepped out for a while in that period of time, and I know we had Tim come in, another guitar player come mm-hmm. in and take over my spot. You all started gigging more mm-hmm. out in the open there. 5 years passed by. Funny story. They were playing at Best Buy. And I remember Best Buy.
Did we had
a, yeah, it was a gig at Best Buy.
How do you remember all this?
I remember every. These are key points in my life, bro. That I try to keep in notch. I'm playing in the practice room. Al's playing with me, and then I guess you go up to Steve. He goes, "Who's on?" He goes, "Marcus is over there." And I go, "All right. You think you want to play with us?" They goes, "Oh no, why don't you go ask?" He goes, "Yeah, all right, or whatever, okay." So I'm there with Al, and you walk in. He goes, "What's up, Marcus? What's up, dude?" All right, yeah. Grab a guitar, you're jamming with us. And I'm like, what? They go, most of these are your songs coming from the flat. Like, okay.
Okay. I remember that.
And I ended up coming back to the band after 5 years, and John goes, I knew it was going to be all.
Yeah, John knows.
I knew you'd come back.
He always does that. He was bound to happen. He was going to
come back. He'll come back. So at that point, you guys were already finishing up the Plow album. The Plow album was coming out. They were still touching up on it. Let me put a picture of that one here. The Plow album, Tracy and Plow, that was like the last, one of the last albums that I came out on again. But that one was, for me, it was a lot of fun because it was way out of my comfort zone.
For me?
And for Isaac, I know Isaac was like,
bitch, dude. That was
the vocal.
Oh my God.
The vocal. I know. You could tell because Al and I would talk a lot. I goes, dude, nigga, what? Do you think Isaac and Diego, bro, I'm going to tell you right now, dude, this is way out of Isaac's comfort zone, bro.
Yeah, it was.
I know, and
yeah,
I know it's
really
tough
was.
On him, but he's going to do it because he's doing it for you, dude.
Yeah,
I know he's doing it for
he
you.
He wanted
he's
to go in that direction.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, honestly, bro, I mean, I love Blue Above the Wire. Like I said, Al and I, we co-wrote the music through the majority of it,
mm-hmm.
but this one was more of his baby.
It was a bitch,
bro.
It was
honestly
difficult.
That album I honestly had the most fun on. Only reason why because
someone
could,
enjoyed it
because I was able to play with so many notes in that album. There were so many fun notes.
You guys were all over the place, man. It was nuts, man. And then I remember like when Al said, "We're gonna go in a different direction." And I was like, what do you mean? we're gonna tune down.
Yeah.
It's like, why? I'll get to that in a minute. You know, and I was like, and then I knew. I was like, right. Oh no, dude, they're gonna go hard. Yeah. They're gonna go heavy.
That
this,
album,
it, you know, and I said it twice already, and I'll say it again. That album was a bitch to sing on, man. It really, really, one, it was out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
Two, John was ruthless.
Yes.
Ruthless and on that album.
And this is where the legend comes out, guys. And me, when if you watch the older episode with Evolve about a couple of years ago, this is something we brought up, and John refuses to acknowledge this. And John, you're gonna watch because I'm asking the man right now. Did John make you bleed?
Yeah, man, that was tough. Man. Well, what it was, man, was that like you just can only do so much,
right?
And I never complained, and I still don't complain. You know, whatever John Fez needed done, he just did it,
right?
You know, and I remember going in there, and it was on that album,
right.
That
right.
album ripped up my vocal cords,
and right?
But the cool thing about when that happens, they get thicker.
Yep.
Your vocals get thicker.
Exactly.
Your voice gets thicker. I don't know if it's being damaged, probably, but as soon as that album, we started recording that album, the first couple of recording sessions, Marcus, were ruthless. They were, I mean, over and over. And I remember, like, coughing and, like, shit just coming up, man. I'm like, oh, my God, this is not good. You know, but
right.
Didn't bitch, didn't complain. You know, I said, damn, John, after the session was over, I just, man, I think I really ripped up my vocals on that. He goes, yeah, you did.
Real honest, man.
Yeah, real, and like unapologetic. no, sorry. Would you like? No, none of that.
Yeah, it's amazing. But did you die?
Yeah. You lived through it. You went through it. And his theory was, you need to get out of that comfort zone,
right?
If you're gonna want to grow as a vocalist,
right?
And to this day, whenever now and then one of the tracks comes up on the random, I'll listen to it and I'll say, holy shit, dude, that was a very difficult album to sing
what
and do harmonies and back vocals, and because man, it was push until it was gone.
Yeah.
And then okay, I'm done. I'm there's no more voice.
Yeah.
So
that album, I mean, to be honest, it was, like I said before, it was so much on my part, being more, because Al pushed me to the limits. Hey, it needs to sound like this.
Shit, and Al pushed everybody.
He goes, you need to find that key, and you need to chomp it here, and you got to do this. I'm like, bro, I'm giving it all I got. He goes, no, you got to do that. I'm like, this was the first time I was getting pushed more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was way out of my comfort zone, but right. Getting pushed into that direction kind of made me a better guitar player.
Yeah.
Along the way.
You grew.
Yeah.
With experience.
Yeah.
And you got out of that comfort zone. We all did.
Yeah.
I think the only one that was comfortable was Al.
Yeah.
Okay. But you and I were catching hell, man, left and right. But when you listen to it now, when you listen to any of the releases that we did, Traces of Men releases, they aged really well.
Yes, they did.
And I'll go back and listen to it in its entirety, and I'm like, oh, my God, This isn't bad. This is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And not to, you know, stroke my own ego or anything, but it was the way that you and Al would put things together that made it good.
Mm.
The way you guys had some kind of tunnel vision or something that allowed the songs to, you know, be written in that way.
Yeah.
And then when Al, I don't know who gave Al the green light to do Plow, it wasn't me. But when all that happened.
All I know is that the way I heard Plow, and if Steve, you're watching, or anybody, any of the guys watching the show, Steve started off with a simple bass run. The do 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 do. When you heard that, I'm like, dude, are we in a jungle or something? What the hell's going on?
No, he got it. He got the influence from Tito and the Tarantulas.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
You see? And that's new to me. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I heard that for the first time, I'm like, dude, this is like way out of my comfort zone. I don't know where we're going with this, how is it gonna play, and you know, just hang on and let's go for the ride. Then Al has, all we gotta do is just stroke and watch. Damn, like, okay, cool. You go high, go low, harmonize it. Like, all right, that's it. So, okay, we're going good. We're going good. The song's going great.
Oh, and then it rips.
The breakdown towards the end. Bro, I took that take, I would say about 10, maybe 20 times.
I believe you.
I could not get it. Because you're missing it. And I was so fed up with that. Like, God damn, I'll get away from my face. Dude, it's a simple song. For you, maybe, not for me.
Yeah,
But just like I said, when you finally get it, you finally hit the mark that you need to hit, you're like,
I'm done. I remember how relieved you were when you finished. Yeah, I remember that, man, because I'd go to those sessions, and I'll be completely honest with you, Marcus, I was scared shitless because I was next. Because remember, we would do the drum tracks first, and then we would do the bass tracks, and then the other sessions would be, I think it'd just be Al, and then you came in.
Yeah.
But once it was all done, and it was like, it was dreadful.
Yeah, it was.
Because I was like, oh my God, there's 8 tracks, 9 tracks, and they're all ball breakers.
Yep.
And I said, well, sink or swim.
Yeah.
But with John's guidance, man, to be honest with you, and the push attitude that album demanded.
Right.
You know, it didn't ask for it.
Right.
You know, it demanded, you to push.
Mm-hmm.
When it was done, I don't know who was more relieved, you or me. Like, when it was completely over.
I had fun on it, but the recording session was...
Oh, it was terrible,
it
man.
Was, it was out was scary. There. It
that was
out
a scary, there. That was probably the scariest album I think I ever was a part of.
Right.
After, all the other ones, like Cakewalks, but that one.
After that album, I said my goodbyes. I split. Steve, later down the road, decided, you know what, I'm bowing out. Later, I'm gone. And so the only ones that are there is just you, Al,
and
Joel. And we're like, okay, what are we doing now? So you pick up Mike, which is another great player from Fort
Calvary. Another great bass player, man.
Steve's cousin, by the way.
Yeah, runs in the blood, runs in the family. Those guys are just
so
great.
So you go off and finish off this last album.
Euterpe.
Yeah, I heard that one. And it took a twist.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, okay. It went from something that was enlightening, then hard, and then just like, okay, that's where we're gonna stay.
Yeah.
That's it. We're there where we're at. And then after that, it just faded away. And that was it.
That was a tough fade though, man, because we'd been doing it for so long, and it was a very it was a difficult moment, like when it disintegrated.
Yeah.
We saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
All right, man, we're going to do another album, or we're going to go do this, we're going to do that, or whatever.
Right, right, right.
And I felt, I think everybody felt it was time for a change.
Right.
And I like the way that we all said, okay, you know what, guys, we had a good run.
Yeah.
We had a great run.
Yeah.
But I knew that I was going to take a break, which I did, but I never stopped writing. I always was writing. I was always listening to conversations and Magpie from here, Magpie from there,
right.
I'd have them there. So I think when it was bittersweet, Marcus.
Yeah.
That's what it was. When Tracy's Men disintegrated and we all left, in pretty good terms. And
a good couple of years. It was a good run. Yeah,
it was a good run. And the cool thing about that, man, was that we could not have moved on unless we did that band.
Right.
I could not have been the vocalist. Once I left Tracy's Men, I was not the same vocalist when I started. I had gotten just a little bit better, a little more original.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start picking things up along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just like, okay, now what? What are you going to do now?
Right.
I think I took 6 months off, I think, man, maybe a year. I was going nuts.
Yeah.
I was going crazy, like the way you were going crazy.
Yeah.
But, you could.
Yeah.
Let the release?
Couldn't release. And like I said, I had to do something else. I mean, before the podcast, this is because Isaac and I were talking about when Al stepped out for a while, and Al was already getting the hunch for it already, and he wanted to go back and play again.
Yeah.
So I reached out to Al, and he goes, hey, dude, you know what? Let's start a small cover band. He goes, sure, you play bass, I'll play guitar, and we'll get Juan.
Juan.
The drummer I always wanted. No, I was joking. No. So we get Juan in the band, and we start jamming out and everything. And, you know, Al and I would talk a lot. Hey, man, let's play a Tracy's Men song. Well, let's give it a shot. Let's play Last Sunday. Like, at least I know all the lyrics to that one. I know how to play. I know the leads. You know the bass lines. Juan knows it like the back of his hand. Let's just play it. So we would play it, and you're like, she's badass. Okay, we learned it. That's for the back pocket. You never know who might use it. Turns out down the road, we were at a benefit concert, and we were on stage. We were playing. I think we had just finished playing Ace of Spades. I think it was Ace of Spades. I'm not sure. But in the corner of my eye, I see you standing over there going, hey, this guy's here.
I have a confession.
I want to hear that confession.
I was there, but I was there looking at another guitar player.
This interview's over, guys. Thank you for coming by. We'll see you next time.
And the crazy thing about that, Marcus, is that he's playing with us now.
Really?
Yeah, Freddie.
Okay.
I was looking at him, but at the time, I wanted to get back into writing another album or a single or anything.
Yeah.
And I was starting to cherry pick. I was going around bars and checking out people playing and drummers and what have you. And that guy stuck out. I mean, his band was good.
Yeah.
Overdrive, something. I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, Mars Overdrive.
Them. Yeah. They were really good.
Yeah.
Freddie. And the singer was playing, and something, he had like some kind of technical difficulty with his amp or process.
You got another Al, didn't you? You got another Al.
Another Al. It was during, they were doing a Prince song.
Okay.
Okay, and I remember this because I was looking at Freddie, and then I saw, it's like, oh shit, something's happened to this guitar. Freddie sees his bandmate go down, like, oh shit, there's something wrong. He picks up right where that guy was supposed to start playing.
Oh, okay, all right.
And I told myself, see, that shit, you cannot teach.
Nope.
That shit is what you need.
Yeah.
So I approached him, but it wasn't the right time because he was in a band, and it wasn't the right time because he was working a lot.
Right.
And I said, okay, that's fine. You know, if you ever decide you change your mind, you know, let me know.
Right.
And just recently, about a month, maybe 3 weeks ago, a month ago, I just shot him out of the blue. I said, hey, I'm doing an acoustic gig because I like acoustic gigs.
Yeah.
Would you like to come and play with us? He said, I'd love to. I have time now.
Right.
I'm not, you know, doing anything. I'm in another band, but that's not like this.
Right.
And he didn't even go to a rehearsal. He just showed up at the gig, and Javi shows him, these are the chords. Dude, he just picked it up.
Yeah.
And he's a lead guitar player is what he really is. So it allows the songs to open up and bloom when you have a lead guitar player.
Right.
You can go on forever. Eight measures, 16, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
And I just sit back and just let me know when you're done, and I'll come back in.
Right.
That was what I was doing there.
You see, yeah, I told you. No, so I see in the corner of my eye, and I go to him, I go, hey, look over there. He's like, that's Isaac. He goes, you want to or what? Fuck it. Bring him over to you. All right, cool. And that's when I made the announcement. We got a special guest for one time only. And I got a great picture of it.
Look at that.
The original members playing one last time in Edinburgh, Texas, at the Cubbyhole in Edinburgh, Texas. We played last Sunday. And I think we also played, Harlem to Memphis. Two songs that actually hit the radio waves.
Yes, they did.
At the time. Yeah. And playing that again, I guess you could say that was the, for me at that moment, it was like the last hurrah, it was a closure for me.
Yeah.
You know, it was something that I got closure for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it brought back a lot of memories. Al said the same thing, dude. It brought back a shitload of memories. Yeah, dude, it's there. It's like reading this. You already know how the story ends, but you want to read it again. You know what I mean? So, and I told him, I go, man, it's just something that's going to be in our back pockets for the rest of our lives. You know, where this band we're playing in now succeeds, doesn't, breaks down, whatever, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But we had that one moment in time where it was Isaac, it was myself, it was you, it was Steve, it was Joel. That's always going to be a memory set in stone. because you can always fall back. Oh, I remember this time. And then, which brings me to when we before we became an actual full-fledged band, which we'll get to right now because I got to get to commercial break. We're about an hour in. This is going to be a long podcast. There's a lot of stuff on the table here, guys. But let me give a shout-out to some of our sponsors. Hold on there, Isaac.
Yeah, go ahead.
A big shout-out to our sponsors here. First of all, Triple J Plumbing. Give Juan a call at 956-854-9622 or Jerry at 956-478-5316. Give them a call. Licensed plumbers. They do residential and hospital-grade work. These guys are great. Let them know Chewy News sent you, man. And always remember, guys. All remember is with you. Oh, where the hell am I here? Oh, God. There you go. See, I mean, so many times I do this podcast, I keep forgetting. Don't forget, guys, your crap is their bread and butter. also, big shout-out to Anotas Construction. Area code 956-363-7195. Great craftsmanship. They do residential, commercial, renovation, remodel. These guys are the tip of the iceberg, bro. They show you something small and they create into a humongous, beautiful work of art. Give Tony a call and let him know Chewy News sent you, man. So going back to, thanks to our sponsor, man, for helping us out. Going back to the urban legend, I always tell the story, nobody believes me. Isaac is going to actually fill the puzzles, if you can still remember.
Right. All this stuff, I'm like, who was that? When did that happen?
Do I know you? Who the hell am I?
That was
Nurse!
It's a big haze.
San Antonio gig, Bull Peppers.
Oh, yeah.
Your cousin Bo had got us a gig up there.
Right.
Yeah. Big shout out to Bo. What's up, Bo? We're up there, and one of the waitresses comes up to us. And she goes, oh, you guys are part of the band? I go, yeah. Oh, we got to give you bracelets. Make sure you go up there. And she goes, all right. They put a bracelet on. And they give Al a bracelet. No, they gave me a bracelet first. Al was setting up still.
Was Al even legal to drink at the time?
Yeah, he was. Okay, right. He was already, I think, 24, 23 years old. And I get my bracelet, and I come back with two beers. And Al goes, where'd you get those beers? From the bar? Who gave them to you? I know you don't have money, you piece of shit. Where'd you get it? We don't get paid till later on tonight. Where'd you get it? I got a bracelet. What's that? Free beer. He takes off.
Man. Yeah.
He comes back with two beers. Well, it's actually three beers. And we're sitting there. We start drinking. Boom, 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 boom. And you see us. We're setting up. Blah, 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 this and that. Then all of a sudden, you see Al go, pop.
Yeah, he's always breaking strings. Man. I don't know.
The string pops,
yeah,
bro.
Man, that guy.
So Al B, MacGyver and all, we head to Kmart, find a fishing string and string that son of a bitch up, and we come back.
It's nuts.
Yeah. We come back, play the show, and then we get another round of beer, and we get another round of beer. By the time we're drinking so much, a waitress approaches you, and she tells you, we're not serving beer anymore. No. She tells you, these guys have been drinking a lot of beer. Do you want to continue serving them? Is it true that he goes, cut him off.
Did I cut him off? I probably did. I was probably a dick and probably did, man.
Cut him off because these guys are not going to stop.
Yeah, man. Because, boy, that was a long time ago, man. But, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they didn't expect.
There was a lot of people there.
But yeah, but I don't think they expected us to be drinking that much. You know, but that's what we did. I mean, that's what we were. You know, that's what we always did.
And they were just serving liquor after that, and they couldn't serve anything else because the beer was already
gone. It was like, Jesus.
They were tapped out.
They were, man. It was funny. That was a nice gig. I like that one, man. Yeah. That was a cool one.
That was a real fun gig. That. So, see, now you guys know the story already. So this is the correct story already.
Yes.
So, I want to get your thoughts, man. I'm going to show you some pictures real quick. These are pictures of the members, and I'm going to start from beginning to the last member. So the first member, you already got mine. I already heard my piece already. So let me go ahead and start up with this one right here.
Okay, that's Al.
Yeah.
My boy. Very good. The string popper.
String popper, what are your thoughts on this guy, man?
Al's a great musician, man. He really, really is. And not only that, he's a great collaborator. He is he's a metalhead. That's his nature.
Yep.
He has a heavy hand, and that's why he breaks a lot of strings. But the imagination that he would bring to the table was, I think, was responsible for a lot of the good middle eights that we would have.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the hooks in the chorus that he'd come up with, you know?
Yeah.
But if if he's around and he's not in a band and you guys want to start a band, that's the guy that you want. Yeah.
Well, he's playing with Bullet Riot at the moment. Oh, okay, so he's good. Being a bass player at Bullet Riot.
Oh, he's playing bass?
He's playing bass. Yeah, that's...
I'm sure he's loving that.
Speaking of bass players, mm-hmm. Here's another one for you.
There's Steven. There's where you got offended when I said he was a jazz bass player. And that was a compliment, Marcus. I mean, yeah. Really. But yeah, Steve, man, that guy, again, amazing. Him and his cousin, Mike, mm-hmm. Michael, amazing. And the crazy thing is they never had a lesson. They never took lessons.
Nope.
None of y'all did.
No.
You guys were just, it was just something that you guys had in you. It was a talent, I mean, to be honest with you, the talent that you guys had to play the instruments that you did and to play them the way you did.
Right.
And without having to be trained or, you know, I think if you were to be trained, you probably, one, would quit, and two, you'd probably go back to the garage and start playing the way you did.
Right, right.
So that's Steven.
That's Steven, right? Mm-hmm. And the last but not least.
There's Howell. Yeah. Fat Beats Howell.
Yeah.
Another great guy right there, man. Love that man. Great drummer. Great. Oh, man, what I really liked about Howell. Was he was one of the first ones there and one of the last ones to leave.
Mm-hmm. Well, all that damn equipment he would carry along.
Yeah,
right?
I'm glad I was never a drummer. You know, I just had to bring my mic and then that was it. But
you're like, I'm set up.
Yeah, you get all mad. But he was kind of like our maestro, I guess. You know, he knew when things would start and when they would stop, and you could hear him calling out, "Okay, here or change." You know, I could hear him. Mm-hmm. And he just had a knack for rhythm. He had a knack for the way they could blend into one another. Even when we'd go on like on a down, like we'd be playing pretty well, mm-hmm. and then he'd go to a drop beat.
Right.
That was beautiful. I love the way he would do that, man.
Yeah.
He did that a lot on the Euterpe album.
Oh, okay.
So he did really well. And the crazy thing about Howell is when he would go record, again, another nightmare from, you know, Fez, he would get so nervous. He would get really, really, really nervous. And he would try to calm his nerves by drinking beer.
Yeah.
And then he'd get sloppy.
Yep.
So Fez, John, would gave him an herbal tea. He goes, you can drink that after. Let's try a tea. And it, I think it was one of that Sleepy Bear tea.
Oh, there you go. We even have a song called Sleepy Tea.
Yeah. That one. And it really chilled him out, man. I mean, Howell would get really high strung recording.
You sure it was Sleepy Tea?
I know. God knows what Fez put in there, but it really chilled him out. And that track, I remember he was doing, I can't remember the track, but it is on the Euterpe album. But it really chilled him out, man. He would just play, and then they got it down, and... when Fez told me, I was like, well, maybe that's, you know, what he needed. I don't know what you put in there, but maybe that's, you know, what he needed.
The same stuff you could have.
Same stuff I put in yours.
Yeah. Excuse me. But, yeah, all in all, I mean, the band, whatever was written and written in stone with this band, I mean, I wouldn't have it either other way. I know, like I said, every band goes through it, the ups and downs, the disagreements, the fights, the yelling, the poking at, and... But you try to push that aside. I mean, between brothers, that's the way it is.
It was a brotherhood.
That's the way I looked at it. Yeah, there was a lot of, you know, oh, no, freaking Isaac, oh, freaking Will, ah, damn it, hell, Mark, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, Steve, there was that. You know,
it was just...
But that's the way
band is.
I mean, even if, like, especially if you're trying to do something that you've never done before.
Right.
And everybody thinks that their way is right.
Yeah.
You know, so, and, you know, I'm guilty of that too, man. I really, really am. The ego back in that day was this horrendous. My ego's been gone for years now, so I'm a lot more passive now, a lot more understanding. We were so young.
Yeah.
We were very, very young back in those days. And
Giving a teenager a sports car and saying, "Here's the keys, go have fun." And you know, it is what it is. I mean, it's like I said, I wouldn't change it any other way.
No.
I'll cherish the good times.
Good and times. Those are the only things I do remember, man, to be honest with you, are the good times that we had.
Yeah.
Yes, we argued. Yes, we did debated. And yes, we, you know, got angry or whatever, pouted and threw tantrums and stuff like that. But that, man, that goes everywhere, man. That's universal. Mm-hmm. You can't not have a utopian band. There's just no way.
That's true. That's true. I mean, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. And, you know.
Great work. I mean, it was fun doing it.
Yep.
Scary at times.
Right.
Cutting your teeth on something that you had a passion for. And you really need to go back and listen to those albums. And they have aged really, really well.
I've caught myself once in a blue moon. I will pop in. I'll go to Spotify and just, let me hear this album. Yeah. And you just...
it's there.
And you start remembering, oh, man, oh, dude, this is where, this is where Steve fell down. Oh, this is part where... and there was a lot of other recordings that, that we were doing. I still have the recording where I have Steve, you know, white chocolate! I don't know, for some reason.
I don't know what he was... Steve was funny that way, though, man. He had these little one-liners that he'd blurt out. And he's like he had some sort of Tourette's or something. But he was funny. Steve was hilarious, man. He really... I'd never seen Steve angry or upset or hurt.
Yeah.
He was just always fun to be around.
Yeah.
And he could quote movies better than you.
Oh, yeah. Man. Oh,
it,
hell yeah.
It was great. And I loved it, man. Yeah. Even now, to this day, I'll talk to him and he'll quote Pistols at Dawn or something. Or something.
Right.
But, no, man, great love, man. To know that man is to love that man. Yeah. He's really, really, really good guy.
Yeah. And I know I reached out to Al and Steve. I think we are going to do a part two of reminiscing about this band also, because this is something everybody that I've known, you know. And it's funny because I've had guests on the show that they go, oh, man, there's this band I used to watch. They're from Mission. I think they're from Mission or McAllen. And it goes, I got their album right here. And I see the the Soulless Day one, or I'll see a Blue Above the Wire, or I'll see I go, really? It goes, I hear the guitar player is an asshole. I go, which one? The guy, right? The guy. I look for the name, like my name, that guy right there. He's a fucking asshole. Holy shit, you're on this? I go, album. And you know, it's weird because, you know, you start seeing these people come out of the woodwork and say, oh, I know this guy. Oh, I know who Isaac is. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know John. And then you're like,
right?
Where were you guys 15 years ago? Where were you guys? But I mean, it is what it is. It's set in stone, and I mean, it's fun to play with memories, and then you just gotta move on. Yeah, you know,
a Rolling Stone. I would not trade any of that, man.
Yep.
It was a learning experience. It was fun, like I said, and it was scary at times.
Right.
It was frustrating sometimes, but
yep.
I wouldn't change it, man. There's no way.
Yeah. So after the fade of Tracy, it finally fades away. That's one question.
Oh shit.
One question. You no, nothing. Nothing bad.
No, I know what you. I know what you're gonna ask.
What?
Where did I get the name?
Yes. Where did the name come? I want to know. I've been. Steve and I always debate. He goes, Men has to be from Indiana, dude. I know for a fact.
They got egotistic bastard.
But what the fuck do we get Tracy from? I go, I don't know. One day we'll ask him. Maybe we bump into him in an old folks home and we're all there for some reason.
What the hell are you talking about? That Tracy's man crap. That's funny that you mentioned that, because when I was in Kingsville, there was a really good friend of mine by the name of Rob Coger, keyboard player.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant, man. The guy was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And we started writing songs together, and he said something like, we should start a band. And I was like, all right, man, just you and me? Yeah, I got everything. I got keyboard, we'll drum machine this, and you just sing, and I'll write songs. And, okay, sounds good to me. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I said, well, what do you want to name the band? And he's all, Tracy's Men. He came up with it.
Oh, shit.
He came up with that. And it stuck with me. And then I moved from Kingsville and I came down here, and I don't know what happened to Rob. I haven't gotten contact with him, but that's where I got it from. I got it from my buddy Rob, one of the best friends I've ever had, and a talented musician, but he's the one that came up with that one, Tracy's Men.
I got one of our top fans on here. He's talking about it. I'm sorry, Louie, let me say it. Amen! there, Lou, you're happy? He goes, I got a name for my central plumbing band. I'm very nice. What do we think? I appreciate that, bro. These are my fans, bro.
Glad you got him. Good.
But so that's where it originated from, from that part. Rob. Right. And then and Al and I don't know. Well, actually, Steve and I talk a lot. We talk about the old days and everything. Bro, I mean, some of the lyrics that Isaac would write, bro. Shit. I mean, what was he drinking? What was he smoking? What was he on? There you go. And that could be a time for another time, man. Maybe in the part two. If we do end up having a part two, sure. Maybe we'll invite you back and all fours will sit down here.
That'd be fun.
And, finally put the nail on the closing coffin there and say, yeah, that's it. Everything's been said and done. Mm-hmm. That's it. But that'll be further down the line. But
lyrics.
Now the lyrics, itself. We'll talk about that next time because I know we're short in time. I want to go into this new band that you're in.
Adagio's Rag.
Yes. Take us on a stroll there. What are
Real
we looking
quick,
at?
Because I know we're pressed for time.
No, go for it. Okay. I got you.
I was trying to cut, again, trying to find somebody to help me cut an EP or an album. And I was working with a piano player. And it just, you're a musician, Marcus. You know when it's going to work and when it's not going to
work. Right.
You know when somebody has their head in it and their heart in it.
Right.
He didn't have it. And I just kept being patient with him and patient, and then I just finally decided, he just said, you know what, it's not happening for me.
Right.
And I said, oh, shit, okay, thanks for your time, I guess. So I'm sitting at home, twiddling my thumbs, wondering, okay, now what's next? I'm not in a band. I'm not writing anything. I'm not recording. And I get a call from a really good friend of mine by the name of Andy. And he comes up, he gives me a call and says, hey, Isaac, are you doing anything? And I was like, what do you mean? Musically. I said, no, mm-hmm. I'm not. Actually, I'm not. In fact, I just got dropped. And he's like, hey, would you want to come audition for this cover band that we're putting together? And I was like, it's something is something, man.
Right.
I said, yes, absolutely. I'd love
right,
to.
Right, right, right.
So, come on this day. And so I show up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all sitting outside in the back, man. He's got the nice little setup in the back. Mm-hmm. And I sit with them and, hey, I'm Isaac. How you doing? Blah, 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 blah. And they start talking about, the ideas of what they're going to want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to go audition. I'm supposed to go and, sing a couple songs for them and see up there, if I'm be able to make this or not.
Right.
So I'm just waiting and waiting. And, whenever you guys are ready, let me know. And then Andy says, oh, by the way, Isaac has albums out in a band. This old band, Traces Men. And to the rest of the people that were there, that just, they're like, what do you mean albums? Like albums? Like, yeah, he does, man. And they didn't believe Andy. Mm-hmm. And so they looked us up on Apple,
mm-hmm.
and they played last Sunday. I didn't have to audition. They just said, hey, yeah, you're in.
The magical song of the dream I had, buddy.
There it is, man. But the crazy thing was, Marcus, when you're in a band and you know that shit just isn't going to work out.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, and that magic. I was in that, man. Yeah. I didn't say anything because it wasn't my band and I was just there going through the motions. But I started to say, okay, who's the workhorse? Who's the one that's always here on time? Who's the one that leaves late? Who's the one that does their homework? Who's the one that has the desire, the push?
Right.
And I found him. Because I knew that band was just going to disintegrate within about maybe less than a month.
Right.
So when it did, I gave it about a 7-day mourning period, I guess. Let everybody like go their own way.
Right.
And I gave my buddy Javi in Osa, that's who I'm working with now, I gave him a call. I said, hey, what are you doing? He's like, oh, just hanging out. I'm going to ask you a question that may not seem friendly, but I assure you it is. He's like, yeah, sure, what's up? Do you write songs? He's like, and it just popped on him. He had a plethora of material.
Right.
He had a lot of ideas. He was looking for somebody who wanted to venture out and do something like that.
Right.
And I said, okay, look, man, I got access to a studio. All right. Let's set up something and see if we can write a song.
Right.
Within the first 10 minutes of that, we did. It was cute, little, nothing fancy, just... We just wanted to see if the engine would turn on, and it did.
Right, right.
So once we started to do that, we knew we had something. There was something there. And the one thing about Javi is his imagination. It's vast. It's deep. He doesn't do the same thing twice. He loves to play with processors and sounds. Mm-hmm. I mean, he loves to do that stuff. Mm-hmm. He's not a lead guitar player. I'm not a lead guitar player. I just play chords. That's it. That's all I need.
Right.
I need a lead guitar player. So when he started to write songs, man, Marcus, it was like the well was full. I mean, the tap was open.
Right.
Songs were just coming out. They were just coming out and coming out and coming out. So he's working with another, and I say a very young man. He's about 25, 24, somewhere in there. Alex never had a lesson on percussions and drums, man. This young man is extremely talented. So we get him to come in. He's so talented that when he was playing gigs with us acoustically, because we were doing them acoustically, he was playing on a cajon.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
He was playing on, and he knew the songs. So when we went to record, he'd never played them on a kit.
Oh, shit.
Didn't skip a beat. And he just did the whole EP in one day.
Holy moly.
Yeah, he did all four tracks in one day. And that was the first EP. We got a taste of that, liked it. We did another one.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did another one. And then it started to get expensive. So we said, let's go to singles. So we started doing singles.
Right.
So that's where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. And if anybody would like to go and see us play, we play every Saturday at University Draft House at noon.
In Edinburgh?
In Edinburgh.
Oh, okay.
It's an acoustic show.
Mm-hmm.
It's not loud. It's really intimate. And we even invite people to come sit with us. Like, they have sofas.
Mm-hmm.
Have a seat. Drink your beer. Chill out with us.
I think I saw a video that about it. Was it like this past Saturday? No, the last
Saturday?
We were
outside. Yeah.
Outside, yeah.
Usually we play inside. But I like to play inside because the sofas, you're just like, it's like, it was like a rehearsal. It was like a Javi's house.
Right.
So we play there every Saturday. And we do the deal was, you know, I made an offer that the owner, manager just couldn't refuse. I said, look, if you allow us to play, we'll play for free. One hour for free.
Mm-hmm.
But the catch is, we don't play covers. We play our own music.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he was like, well, let's see what you have.
Mm-hmm.
So we showed him what we had on, I think he was using Spotify, I think at the time. And he liked it. He goes, well, come in Saturday, let's give it a shot. And we did for 1 hour. And it worked out really well. It was just Javi and I. Mm-hmm. Most of the times it's Javi and I. Freddie just started showing up, and then that's where everything started to really take on a different feel.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that we've always wanted to do, get back into playing because of the pandemic. We stopped. Yeah. All we do is record. We're just writing. And then mm-hmm. we had all this material, and then we started recording, and that took forever to do. And then right. we say, let's start playing live. So slowly but surely, Freddie and Javi have the same concept as you and Allie.
Oh, okay.
They make the covers their own. They play, this is the way I would play it.
Right.
It sounds like the song, but with a different take.
A different feel, different taste. Different
feel. And remember, you and I and Al and everybody else, we're not the same musicians that we were back in our 20s.
Right.
You know, I'm already 50. You're probably like in your mid-40s already.
Thanks, appreciate that.
You're welcome. So, we're not the same. It's the experiences that we had with Tracy's Men that allows me now to venture out and do something new. Not afraid anymore like I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more or less like you now. When you were there, you dared to fail. I'm like that now. I'm not scared to fail.
Right.
I know that I can sing. I know that I have an original voice now. I found it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I can write better than I did before. And I know what a catchy hook is. I know, you know, what a middle eight is. I know how verses go. So what I'm doing now is just the graduation of what we did with Tracy's Men, just
right.
with different members. Same concept, original. And we don't care about, you know, getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
We love to do it.
So we do play there every Saturday, University Draft House at noon.
That's cool, man.
It's a free gig.
That's cool. That's cool. And you know, you have some, let me put some websites right here real quick. Mm-hmm. I do have a QR code. Yeah. You want to catch everything that's going on with these guys, where they're showing up, where they're going to play. Hit them up. Also, if you want to follow Isaac and you have some lyrics or music you want to donate, hit them up, man. You're glad you listen to them.
Oh, awesome. I'd love to talk with people about their lyrics. It's really, really neat.
Yeah.
I enjoy that.
We talked about this before also. Not really a lost passion. It's more like AI has made it simpler
for a lot, you know? Yeah. It took a lot of the hard work out of being a musician.
I mean, imagination and creativity.
That too.
Yeah.
It's, and that stuff, again, Marcus, you cannot teach.
Nah.
Imagination and creativity.
Yeah.
It's something that you either have or you don't.
Right.
And the bad thing about, and I'm not knocking it, man. I mean, AI is, you know, it's great. It really, really is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it takes away from the originality of the artist, or the guitar player, or the singer, or the poet, or whatever. You're allowing a program to be creative for you, and you're not honing in on your creativity. What we did with Tracy Smith, we honed in on your creativity, Al's creativity.
Right.
With AI, it just wipes all that out.
Yeah.
You know?
It does.
So if you're using it, great, congratulations, but I prefer doing it the old way, writing something and then writing it again until I find out. Use a thesaurus, you know?
Yeah.
Go back to your notes, look at something and try to say it better. But I enjoy that process.
That's cool, man.
I really do.
That's good. I know he brought me a little something.
Yeah,
something.
I did.
Yeah.
The old man in the sea.
He's trying to say something, man.
I'm trying to tell you that's a really good story, man.
It's really, really not good. Be an AI book about me, bro.
When you read that, you're gonna say that's a badass old man.
I'll take a gander at it, I guess.
Yeah, man, you'll like it, man.
They are Cliff Notes, right, man?
Hemingway is so great, you don't need Cliff Notes.
Some people are like, what the hell are Cliff Notes?
Dude,
not part of your time period.
You don't need it, man. You're gonna get hooked on that. It's really, really, really good.
Isaac, one last question for you tonight, bro. When it's all said and done, Father Time finally catches up and says, hey, you know what? It's time to go. You know, you need to say your goodbyes. What do you want to be known as? What do you want to be remembered as?
I think when a man reaches a certain age, he wants to leave something behind. I know I do. And the goal with Tracy's Man and Adagio Drag is to record and release as many songs as I possibly can until I 86 out of here. That way, when my wife or my children miss me, all they got to do is push play. So if I want to be remembered by anything, I want to be remembered by being considerate enough to leave something behind. Not a family heirloom, you know, I got plenty of those to pass around, but something that my wife and my children say, you know, my kids will say, hey, that's my old man.
Right.
My wife's like, that's my husband. That's
right.
What he was. And that's what I want people to remember me by, is like, hey, this guy wasn't the greatest singer in the world, all right? Wasn't the most talented, but, you know, he did okay. And he left us this. And whomever can listen to it and get something out of it, man, I mean, that's what it's for.
Yeah.
And there's no really easy way to leave something behind like that.
Yeah.
You will have your son listen to your music.
Yeah. These podcasts, I mean, video-wise, audio-wise, he can come back
and
see me whenever you want. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, and everything you're saying, it's true. I mean, you want to leave something behind for the ones that are going to be carrying on. You know, hopefully that memory carries on further.
Right,
you know?
Right. I totally agree with you with that, man. And the one thing about music, Marcus, and I think you'll agree with me, people are going to forget about me. When I die,
give it 20 years, give it 30 years. Mm-hmm. They're not going to know who I was. But Apple, Spotify,
yep.
Prime, YouTube, all those music engines,
mm-hmm.
your music and my music will continue to be played.
Yeah, exactly.
I told you that it was in South Korea.
Yeah, I saw that. It was you're telling in me about Japan. That.
Yeah. The Netherlands, we got picked up. The Netherlands, I can't even pick that out on a map.
It's crazy. And it's the same thing I was telling you. Go, bro, we talked about it. You can't make it here.
It really is about making it here. It's just about leaving. You're right, Marcus. It's about leaving something behind.
Yeah.
And I can't think of a better thing to leave behind than music.
Yeah.
Music is universal.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's something for everybody.
Yeah, a little dab of this, little dab of that for everybody to listen to.
I do believe
totally understand, man. First of all, I want to say thank you for coming out.
Thank you for having
coming
me.
Coming out and playing with me on these cameras and mics, even though there's no acoustic or or live band in the background. But, guys, the albums that Isaac and I were talking about, they are available on Spotify, Apple. I believe on Prime also.
They're on any platform that they're out there, man.
Just look it up. I mean, even that... The one that Isaac loves the most here is available for you to listen.
That one there?
The last, one of the last ones that we wrote together as a whole fledged group. Great. Man, it brings back a lot of memories. I was anticipating for today to talk to you, man, and reminisce about old stuff like that, bro. Because it's fun to dip back in the past and see yourself from looking at yourself in the past into where you're at
in retrospect
now,
yeah. Right.
And it's a total different aspect from both ends of the table now, because you're still pursuing music. Mm-hmm. I've just like, you know what, I'm doing this now.
This is a great gig for you, man. Congratulations, like I said, man.
A niche, it finally found the hook.
Congratulations, man. I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks.
And I really, really am proud of what you've done here.
Yeah. Nice. Say likewise for you. Carry on with your music writing, your lyric writing. Well, still, you need to bring out a thesaurus to follow exactly what Isaac is talking about. We'll get into that part two. When we get the rest of the guys in here and to sit down and have a chat. Hopefully soon, maybe in the summer or right before school starts, we'll get something going.
I'd love to, man. That'd be great, man. Really. Thank you so much for inviting me over. It was really a pleasure.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is our podcast for tonight. I know we're an hour and 30 minutes in. I consider the fact that the South Texas International Film Festival was like 4 hours long. This is the longest I've been alive with you guys. I want to say thank you to Isaac Mendiola coming to the studio. Big shout out to Al, Steve, Joel from the original members of Tracy's Men. That's history. That's you got a respect of Isaac and a little respect of my history where we had all started from. So, I got one more comment down here. Who do I have here? He goes, great show by Liz.
Okay, cool.
There you go. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Don't forget, guys, subscribe, follow our podcast. We do have, like I said, we do have merch. Be go one of our subscribers on Facebook Live. Subscribe to us. Only $1.99 a month. $2. Less than gas. Less than gas. Also, if you want to go to a bonfire, get our t-shirts from there. They're not associated with us. They just help us push merch and promote our podcast wherever it's available. Guys, we'll see you next week on Friday, 7:30. I will have El Cacahuate back in the house again with Martin Gomez. Martin! There you go. Louis, you have competition. We will see you next week, 7:30. Thank you so much for tuning in, staying so late with us. Great conversation with great people, man. And we're going to have this again later on. It might be a 2-hour show. I don't know. Let's see, because once conversation starts going, by the time you know it's 12 in the morning, you know, we all got jobs to do. So, but other than that, guys, thank you so much. We'll see you next time. Latest, gatest, peace.